I can now help fix those problems that I lived with, you know, and I saw people live with for 8 years. I'm like, now I'm in this space where I can learn about it, understand it, and help make changes to make those things better. So I'm super passionate about it. And
welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on at JS World Conf on Twitter.
So hello and welcome to another episode from JS World Podcast. My name is Medhat. I'm a consultant for passionate people. And alongside with me, my colleague.
Hi, my name is Christopher. I'm also a consultant at Passionate People. And today we are joined by Maria Lombardo. Hiya.
Hi, how's it going?
That's my question to you. This is the second the second time this happened to me in a row, but that's okay. I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Just coming off of it, which is fantastic. Done for the conference, yeah. I guess.
Oh wow, that's so nice. How was the talk? How are you feeling?
Good. It was I thought I was gonna go way over time, so I felt like a little rushed, but it was good. It was really good.
That's good to hear.
It will be awesome. If you would like to just give a brief introduction about yourself to people who might not know you.
Yeah.
So that would be awesome.
So hey everyone, my name is Maria Lombardo. I am an accessibility advocate. I am the head of accessibility training at CVS Health, which is like a pharmacy in the United States. I'm also a community partner for Vue.js and community organizer for my community.
Yeah. Would you like to tell a little bit about your community?
Oh yeah, sure. So I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. We have a lot of meetup groups there and a nice tech community in there. I guess this is kind of pre-pandemic, but pre-pandemic, I used to host like monthly meetups about Vue.js or Python, like pretty much anything tech. Of course, I loved about geeking out about accessibility in those meetups and trying to bring as many speakers on accessibility as possible. But yeah, it's a fun community. It's been really nice, active community, and just, yeah.
Cool. Sounds great. So your focus obviously has been accessibility for the past few years now.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about is, for a lot of people, accessibility is still this very vague thing on the internet. Could you give people like the elevator pitch on accessibility on the web?
Sure. So accessibility on the web is really to make sure that all of your applications are usable by everyone. I feel like there's a misconception of what accessibility is, and like it's really for blind people, or like, oh, we only care about this many users and that's the only people that are going to benefit from this, right? But it's not really true. Like when you have an accessible application, it really improves the experience for everybody. It's kind of like just the best user experience you can create. And also you end up having much cleaner, better code for it because you have to test it and make sure that you're building it in a proper way using the right semantics. So it's just kind of making sure that you're using the technology that exists at what it supported the best. And then just make sure that everything just works really well across the board, across browsers, across assistive technologies. And then it just improves the experience for everybody.
Wow, cool. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
But the way you say it is, to me, it comes across as if you do put your focus on accessibility, it actually enhances the quality of your website or your product that you're building, not from just an accessibility perspective, but across the entire board, because you have so many things that you need to take into account. Mm-hmm. Is that a correct statement?
100%. And honestly, like, you end up writing much better code just through testing, just because you have to test so much. Like, did I build this correctly? Does this work with the screen reader correctly? Because you have to test it as you're building it, right? So when you end up going back and fixing a lot of things as you're building it, and then at the end, there's a lot less bugs in your code. There's a lot less just rework that needs to happen, even as like your applications expand, like especially like my talk today that we talked about, like reusable accessible components, and like once you build that in an accessible way, you could reuse it all over your site and you don't have to think about it, right? Like, I mean, you have to think about it, but you know, not as much, and not, it's not going to be as much of an effort up front to build it in an accessible way.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating subject. If you think about accessibility, it's something that unfortunately not everyone has the opportunity to put effort into accessibility. Me, at my client, for example, it's not a focus point, right? It's slowly coming up, and slowly people are starting to understand like accessibility is a very important part of web development, but we need to get this feature out the door first. So, you know, so what would you say? Because you are an accessibility coach as well.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone like me or someone like Medhat to introduce accessibility in their daily workflow?
Honestly, I think it's people don't understand accessibility, right? So I think it's more like teaching people the empathy part, right? Like teaching people why accessibility is important, like having them experience their own applications through a screen reader, right? Like, or even if you don't have a screen reader, just can you tap through your entire application? Like, let's say you broke your hand and you can't use your mouse. Like, can you with your left hand, if you're right-handed, like tab and interact with everything that you need to interact with in your site? And if the answer is no, then you have an issue, and it's not necessarily because I'm using an assistive technology, but like it's situations, right, that make this experiences worse. Yeah. So yeah, it would just teaching that to the people that you work with, like your clients, yeah. Is very beneficial.
So maybe this is a very strange example, but what if I were to go up to my team and say, like, okay, today we're going to be wearing slings. We're not allowed to use our right arm or our mouse arm, yeah, in case someone's left-handed, and we just have to use our left hand to go through the website.
Yeah.
Would that be a good use case?
Yeah, honestly. Honestly, please do it.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, my favorite is turn off the monitor and use your screen reader to navigate, right? Just completely,
right.
You should be able to know exactly what you're doing without a monitor.
Great tip, yes.
That's like a really good tip, actually.
Yes.
I'm eager to try this now.
Try it right now, complete the interview like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, but actually, yeah, we can complete, we try this out as an exercise and passion people as well.
Yeah.
So as if you, from your title, it's the first time for me to see this title, Senior Accessibility Designer. Usually it's a UI UX designer, but yeah, that's it. Something, it's a legitimate name that it were, or you invented inside your...
No, I mean, so that's my previous role. It's a little bit outdated in here, but I was a senior manager for the design accessibility team, and the organization, there are a couple of organizations that are set up like this, but really accessibility design or design accessibility is really bringing accessibility into the design space. So kind of working with the UI designers, UX designers, UX research, right? Into like, how do we get accessibility at the beginning? Like a lot of times, like, you know, we expect this to be an issue to be solved by developers, but when developers are given a design that is just 100% not accessible, they can only do so much.
So does this mean that you are writing in the user story a behavior as well that you are expecting from each feature?
Yes. And from each designer too, right? So like for example, here's a simple example. Links versus buttons, they're not interchangeable. They have very different distinct functionalities, even from a keyboard perspective. Mm-hmm. But a lot of designers don't really understand that, and they continue to style buttons and links interchangeably, and it's not really correct. So like that's an example of like, if you're a developer and somebody hands you a design that has a link that is styled as a button, you can for sure develop it and code it as a link,
yeah,
but it's not fully accessible because the design doesn't match what's happening in the code.
Yeah. So you're now talking about a very concrete example, right? So we have a link and we have a button, both look the same, but they function differently. From an accessibility perspective, how do they function differently from an accessibility perspective?
So for example, like let's talk about the functionality of each, right? So a button is used to trigger or perform an action within a specific page, whether that's submitting a form, opening a modal, things, you know, like muting something, right? Playing a video, those are all things that happen inside that same URL. There's no new route. A link takes you to a new destination, whether it's
navigation,
like...
Navigation, yeah.
Yeah, like you're navigating somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. So whenever you change location or position like that, like it takes you to a new destination, then that's a link. And it also has different keyboard functionality. Mm-hmm. So like if you're in a button, you can trigger a button with the enter and space key, but a link, you can only do it with an enter, for example.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So does the screen readers as well read them differently?
Yeah, so it will announce that it is a link and it will announce that it is a button.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, most probably the people who are using screen readers will understand that this is navigating to somewhere else, but this one is doing something in the same page, right?
So yeah. What if you have the scenario, because you say the buttons, they're an action on a page, right? But sometimes we use links to then scroll to specific anchor. That's a part of the link behavior, right?
Yeah, that will be a link, because that's a new destination.
It's a new even if it's on the same page, it's a new destination,
yes.
Right? Okay,
yes.
So just trying to wrap my head around this, because as I said, not a lot of experience with accessibility just yet. But these are like...
just yet.
These are like just yet, of course. I mean, we're always open to learn, right?
Yeah.
So, But it's interesting then to hear from that perspective of a screen reader that the major differences between the interactability of a button and a link and the way they should interact with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? And then now it also puts your title a bit more into perspective, accessibility designer, because when you're a designer, I'm sure they don't know the functional difference between a button and a link because they look the same. To them, it's the same thing, an action happens, whether it's a page navigation or a submitting of the form or whatever.
Yeah.
A designer doesn't necessarily know or needs to care.
Yeah, about the complexities of what's happening on the
exactly,
back side,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah. It makes sense to have someone in a role that thinks about the accessibility of a design and what it has, the impact it has on the design.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
and I've actually
cool.
moved into a new role and I'm heading the accessibility training department for CVSL, so we're kind of doing that for everything in the org, so like products folks, engineers, designers, UX researchers, you know. So yeah, I'm really excited.
That sounds great that your organization is caring that much about accessibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, this gets me to two questions, to be honest. The first one, why your organization is paying that much attention and that much, you know, investment in accessibility? And the other one is about you yourself. What triggered you to get into this field?
Yeah. So I mean, I think especially in the U.S., the laws are a little bit different. Like I know like in Europe, for example, there's a lot of laws that protect against inaccessible sites. Even if you're a private company, you must follow certain things for accessibility. In the U.S., it's not quite like that. So you are really required by law to follow accessibility best practices in the digital space. If you're receiving things like government funding, or if you're providing a service that is the same, or like a replacement for a brick and mortar store, right? Or like if you're, you know, in the government of some sort, hospitals, things like that, right? So CVS Health is one of the biggest pharmacies. It is the biggest pharmacy chain in the US. So they are really focused on, you know, improving that experience and moving things more into the digital space and improving the digital experience. And, you know, because we are a pharmacy, again, my thoughts are my own, but because we're a pharmacy, it would make sense that, you know, a lot of the people that come to us are patients, you know, a lot of them might have like autoimmune diseases or certain things that like we need to ensure that access to their medical records, access to how they get their medicines
yeah.
is an accessible experience, else they're going to be stuck in this flow. And that's unacceptable.
Yeah, that makes sense, of course. And what the other one? What triggers you yourself to be an accessibility expert?
I mean, I'm super, super passionate about accessibility, and I'll give you like a quick recap of my story. But
yeah.
I worked as an applied behavior analyst for about 8 years. So I used to work with people with like different types of like various disabilities.
Yeah.
And I did that for 8 years. So again, I worked with many, many, many families that we use different types of assistive technologies and try to communicate through those and try to make things work. And it was always frustrating. Like I wasn't in tech, but like I felt that frustration and I lived through those frustrations with families and how they were impacted. And it was like helping them to, okay, let's find other ways to communicate. Let's, you know, do this. And, you know, then about 4 years ago, I myself got really sick with like an autoimmune disease and like I couldn't walk. It was kind of rare. Nobody knew what was going on. And my awesome husband, who's back in developer, he's like, you know what you could do from bed for the rest of your life? You could do a front-end developer.
Okay.
So I picked it up. As I picked it up, I learned about accessibility and I was like, oh my God.
My life changed.
Yeah, like what a way to like bring back my previous field and also like, wow, like I can now help fix those problems that I lived with, you know, and I saw people live with for 8 years. I'm like, now I'm in this space where I can learn about it and understand it and help make changes to make those things better. So I'm super passionate about it. And so
you just get the empathy because you live the same experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a super cool story. And it's I find it wonderful to hear that you've worked in a particular field and then you refound your way back to that.
Yeah.
It may be in a different form, but still, you know, you're able to do what you wanted to do in the first place, which is fantastic.
Yep.
Maria, we want to round off with one final question, which we ask every speaker that comes on here.
Yep.
I would like to give Medhat the honors because I've done it the last previous couple times.
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, it's a general question. Could you please give us a life hack or a dev tip hack that you learned recently and it changed your way of living or enhancing your life as a developer, as an accessibility engineer or in life, any life hack that you learned that we can adopt today and enhance our life, hence the people who are watching us as well.
Ooh, that I learned recently. That's a good one. I mean, Can I just do like a generic blank statement for all developers?
Yeah, it's fine, it's fine. Yeah,
test your applications, turn on your screen readers. You can have, if you're using a Mac, which I feel like most developers are, you have a built-in free screen reader in your Macs.
Which is, by the way, very good.
It's the best.
It's
so
very good.
Turn it on. Command F5 will turn it on. They'll give you a little tutorial on it. Yeah, let's try it.
Command F5. Welcome to VoiceOver. Use VoiceOver. Here we go.
Read it for me, please.
There you go. And honestly, this is my life hack.
We need to turn on sound. Use VoiceOver. Here we go. Okay, let's
tap through the page, see what happens.
Follow our Instagram right arrow. Visited link image. New file register.
What should they do now?
Primary.
You can tab. You can tab through it.
Link works.
You are currently
on a link.
So you're on a link.
Control
works.
Option space.
Control option space. I mean, if I'm just purely auditive, right? Press Control Option Space. That seems like pretty.
That's complicated.
It's complicated.
Honestly, okay. Ignore that.
All right. Let's...
You are currently on a link. To click this link, link.
That works pretty well.
That sounds great.
Button main.
But you know, you there's are a lot of links in here. Are they really all links?
To click this button, press Control Option Space.
That's a bad design.
I don't know.
Link image. Air60 wireless mechanical keyboard. Chrome.
Now you know what I've been
doing. Is that really a link or is that a button that loaded that image on that same page?
It's a link that when you click on it, I think it's the gallery or something.
You are currently on a link. To click this link for 45.
Skip it, man. Skip it.
All right. I feel now more you know, empathy to the people who
Chrome has new window.
What was again, Gabe?
Command F5.
Command
F5 button.
Stop saying that.
VoiceOver off.
But honestly, once you kind of get used to it, one of my life hacks is I don't need to use a screen reader, but I love using a screen reader. I think it is like the most life hack thing I could tell you, because I love, like, when I read a lot of documentation or where I have to read like a huge article, I'll just turn on my screen reader. You could speed it up as much as you want. You could go 2 times, 3 times the speed.
It can read it for you.
It'll read it for you. So I'll literally turn on my screen reader, highlight what I wanted to read or use QuickNav and tap through what I wanted to read. That's a life hack. Yeah,
that's a really good life hack. But I think also for developers, turn on screen reader when you're testing.
Actually, I used to use, you know, this normal in Medium, if they are making a voiceover for the article, I play it. Otherwise, I read it myself, which might take a longer time.
Oh, see, but now finally,
also sort of the alt text comes into play, and you're like, now it finally has a good function.
Yes. We need to do that.
Maybe that's just my peculiar thing. But I always wondered, like on the image tab, alt text, like why?
This is why.
This is like the first time I'm thinking like, oh yes.
That's really good. Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
This was a great interview. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one.